So many questions.
Okay. Do you mind if I try to shorten it? She says she basically agrees with all the brilliant, extraordinary, eloquent... she said she basically agrees with everything I'm saying, but the concern she has, as a longtime political activist herself, is that, especially given the extraordinary level of repression aimed toward those who would attempt to use sabotage, for example, against the system, that she's afraid that she might do something and then, you know, just get killed or sent away and it wouldn't make any difference. That's a huge, huge, huge question. I mean, people ask me quite often why, you know, it's like, why do you write about taking out dams instead of simply doing it? And there's a few reasons for that. And one of them, and I'll come back directly to your thing, but one of them is that my only D in college was in quantitative chemical analysis lab. So it's like, you really do not want me handling the explosives. I mean, I have friends who get off on, you know, just messing with explosives recipes. And every time there's a new one, they find out, they make it in their kitchen just because they love doing that. And I sort of get off on writing in the same way. I mean, that's part of the reason. Another part of the reason is because I don't know anybody else who is explicitly calling for bringing down civilization the way I am, and who is mentioning that there are 70,000 dams in this country over 6.5 feet tall. And if we only take out one a day, it will still take 200 years. Who is saying all that? And there absolutely needs to be a firewall between the above ground and below ground faces of this. Otherwise, we may as well just go down for recreational mugshots, you know? And but there's the other thing that also sort of stops me on this is, yeah, I would be willing to give my life for the fish in a moment, but I don't particularly want to give my life in it for a symbolic act that doesn't really accomplish anything on the ground. And I mean, I know so many people, I mean, just at talks, and you know, this is not any sort of breach of security here, just because it's all sort of random, that so many people who have essentially said the same thing. It's like, yeah, I would go down and take out a cell phone tower right now if I knew that there were 200 other people doing it all over the country. And if there were groups who were, you know, just hitting again and again and again, I would be out there in a moment. I don't have an answer to that because I don't know. I mean, one of the advantages that Tecumseh had over us is that he could go and recruit in friendly territory. And we don't have that. There is no, you know, we are all in occupied territory. And that is something, and I don't think this is too much of a cop-out, that is something that I would leave up to organizers because I don't have skills in that direction either. But I think that needs to be done, you know, and there needs to be an Underground Railroad set up. All of that needs to happen. And I don't have the faintest clue how to do that. But it's a huge, I mean, I'm just dancing around. I don't know how to answer that question. Yes, I would. I want that critical mass to be there. And that's one of the things I'm doing. I'm essentially, you know, a recruiter for this transformation. You know, it's a recruiter for whatever word we want to put on it. I mean, that's what I'm trying to do is to push this, push. I don't know how to bring about that level of organization, especially within, I mean, as you know from my book, Welcome to the Machine, especially within a panopticon. I don't know how to do it. But one thing is really important, which is not said often enough. When I say that I don't have hope, some people say, oh, that means, you know, that you, I don't know what it means, but somehow it means that we should all sit on our asses or something. I don't know what it's supposed to mean because I don't feel that myself. But the important thing, something I don't think anybody says, or I don't say this often enough, but I do say it in the new book, is that one of the things I think we need to realize is that we're going to win. We are absolutely going to win. And I think that understanding, that even makes it a little bit easier. You know, even if I'm part of the vanguard who ends up getting nailed, the knowledge that somebody else is going to come after, even that is a little bit sweeter. And here's another thing that's really helpful, that really helped me to lose some fear around this whole question is, okay, when we die, I guess it's one of three things will happen. Either it's boom, boom, echo the lights, in which case I'm dead, in which case I don't know anyway. Or two, you know, we end up in some other place, in which case I'm going to fight him from there. Or three, we come back here, in which case I'm going to fight him from here again. It's like, what's his name? Kartar Singh Saraba was this Indian anti-imperialist about 1920 or so. And he's my big, big Indian hero. He was about 18, I think, and he was caught by the British. And they were going to sentence him either to be hanged or to life imprisonment. And he said, I want you to hang me so I can come back and fight you again. And I love that, you know? It's like, but that doesn't answer your question. How do we make the critical mass? No idea. That's up to somebody else. I mean, because of my ignorance. It's a huge, huge important thing. You are first and then you. What I think you're saying is that part of the difficulty is that it's not so clear as it was perhaps in the time of Tecumseh as to who us is and who them is. And that creates pragmatic problems. Okay, first, I mean, there's a couple ways we can do. One, I think, is first off, we can prioritize. That I think the ANC was really pretty good at a lot of that by saying first go after sort of military equipment, then corporate equipment, then military personnel, then corporate personnel. And so there's prioritizing a list. I mean, I think we can all say that Charles Hurwitz is not one of us. I think we can say that. Okay, and I think we can say, I mean, it's like a great example of this is some guy saying, you know, if you, you know, one reason I wouldn't take out a dam is because you kill a lot of people. I say, well, don't even worry about that philosophical question right now, because there are, of the 2 million dams, there are a bunch of them that are tiny, illegal, and the only reason they're standing is because of inertia. We don't even need to face that more difficult question because we're not even bothering to take out the ones that have no, there are no problems with taking them out. They're only standing because we're too damn lazy to do anything about them. Many of them have no economic purpose. The only, and they were illegal in the first place. The only reason they're standing is because nobody's bothered to take a sledgehammer to them. There's probably a quarter to a half of those 2 million fall in that category. And so there's plenty of work we can do before we even have to face that. Which is not to say we shouldn't, but it's like, that shouldn't stop action, because if we have that question, okay, let's start at the places where we don't have that concern, and we're not even doing that. Okay, I got no problem with the us and them. Dams are them. Factory trawlers are part of them. Dams are part of them. With the salmon, I don't know that would, I mean, in general, yeah, but not with the salmon. That would be a separate issue that's just as important. And so I don't think that's problematical at all. I think what we need to do, if we want to save the Klamath River salmon, is Iron Gate. And if you've got tons of money, if you're Warren Buffett, who is thinking about buying the dams, great. That's one option. You know, there's plenty of other options too. I don't see that as a difficult question on either a pragmatic or philosophical level. And it's actually like 1 minute till, so we actually need to stop. But thank you very much.